value of your pasta for a few minutes before the service. And I, first of all, I said a very solemn. I was to find him in that plunge. And then the thought struck me like, and I said to him, had we ought to say something? I don't misunderstand. I am very sorry from the natural standpoint. But we believe all is in the Lord's hand. Sovereign ruler of the sky, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. Well, from the natural standpoint, I'm very sorry, but may we truly prove the Lord's hand and purpose. One feels very much the need that. It was not until after 1 o'clock I knew anything about it at all. But as I tried to pray and ponder, one word came to my mind. And that is the word, as the Lord shall help me, I will try and bring before you. Now, first of all, I'll ask the dear children, how many commandments are there? Yes? Thank you. Well, that's what we say. But I want to point out another one. And many of you, yes, and the young ones too, probably, have heard and perhaps sometimes sung that beautiful hymn, The Sands of Time Are Sinking, written by a very godly man, a godly minister who used to live in Scotland. A very godly, gracious man he was. And there was a bishop named Bishop Usher who heard of this godly man, and he wanted to see him and have a talk to him, but didn't want him to know who he was. And so he disguised himself as a tramp. He called at the vicarage on a Saturday evening for lodging. And Sunday morning, Mrs. Rutherford, like she always did, gathered the whole household round for prayer and reading and catechism. And the tramp had to come too. And she asked this tramp a question. Can you tell me how many commandments there are? He says 11. Oh, she looked at him, poor ignorant man, said, any child can tell you better than that, whoever that was. And he made his way out into the garden, a little quiet and reading and meditation, and he heard a voice. And he discovered that this was Mr. Rutherford, Samuel Rutherford himself, come out there for the same thing, to hide amongst the bushes for prayer. And that they discovered each other, and when Samuel Rutherford found who it was, oh, he said, I want you to preach for me this morning. Well, he says, I will on one condition, if you'll provide me a suit to preach in and don't make known who I am. Well, he went into the pulpit and he got up and gave out his text, and what was it? Well, I want you to read it. Well, if your children have got Bibles, have you, or if you haven't, in the 13th chapter of John and the 34th verse, perhaps one of you just read it, would you? First one to find it, 34th verse of the 14th chapter of John. 34 through 13th chapter of John. Well, we mustn't stop too long.
New commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I love you, that ye also love one another.
Thank you. Now that is the verse he read out. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And he began like this. He says, this is the 11th commandment. It's a new commandment the Lord Jesus has given to us. And this is his commandment. He said that ye love one another. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Yes, but how? As I have loved you. You see, that's the pattern of our love. As the love of God through Jesus Christ to poor sinners. That's how we should love others. So you see, it is a love that has to do with sin, but with the Lord Jesus, one who puts away sin. And now, we'll take this word love in the four letters. Now, what are the four letters? You can tell me, can't you? Good. That's right. L-O-V-E. Now, we'll take each a letter separately, and we'll take an illustration from the Word of God. Now, the letter L, we'll take a little plant in the Word of God, the lily, and try to find a few illustrations concerning that. And now, in the prophecy of Hosea, in the 14th chapter, and verses 4 and 5, we find this. This is God speaking to his ancient people. And he says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. Now, while this was God speaking to his ancient people, Israel, what a beauty in it. And after all, that is really what the lily usually sets forth, the beauty of grace. It's a very lovely flower. But now, how beautifully illustrative this is also of the gospel. He says, I will heal their backslide. What are backslide? Well, it means going backward instead of forward. You slide backward. And that's what we always do when we sin. Going away from God instead of going toward him. You know, that's just what the prodigal did, first of all. He just went away as far as he could from his father's house. But now look, God says, I will heal. Surely then backsliding indicates this, that it brings a wound. It bring some trouble, something that needs to be healed. And we often hear the expression of the wounds that sin has made. And it does. But why will he do it? Well, he says, I will love them freely. It doesn't say they deserve to be healed. He doesn't say because I see something in them good. No, it's just because he loves to do so. I'll love them freely. Now that is, it may take illustration of the 55th chapter of Isaiah, where there God, through the prophet, illustrating the fullness and the freeness of his mercy and his salvation, he says, come and buy my wine and milk without money and without price. It costs us nothing. He gives it free. And then the result of it, he says, is this. My anger is turned away from him. Now that shows that God is angry with sin. And the word says he's angry with the wicked every day. Would you like to see a parent angry with you? God is angry with sin. And all unrighteousness is sin, all disobedience to his word. This is God's word that he's laid down for our instruction, for us to follow. And all that goes contrary to it, doesn't matter what it is sin, is anger. And now he says, my anger is turned away. And what a wonderful thing for God to do that. Purely out of love. And then he says, I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. They're all three illustrations of the wonderful blessing of God, which would bring fertility and growth and beauty. I must not stay to go into each one, but the dew to Israel was a wonderful blessing in times of drought, when there was not the rain as we have it here, but very often only the two usual periods of rain. Between those times, there were very copious dews which kept everything from dying and withering away. But he said they should grow as the lily. And evidently the lily in Palestine grew very plenteous and abundant. And now, we might apply this also in the beauty of it to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But you see, it'll be imparted to his children through the wonder of his grace, the blessings of his salvation. In the Song of Solomon, in the second verse of the second chapter, there, speaking of the Lord himself, or rather there the stars as the lily among thorns, so is my beloved among the stars. You see, it's something so totally different than anything else. Totally different. It's like the beauty of a lily compared to thorns. And then again, you must not I fear very often, perhaps, when the lily is spoken of in the scripture, it's thinking of something white, but it isn't. I know the white lily is very beautiful, but the lily of scripture was a very bright, beautiful scarlet flower, and evidently grew very profusely. Again, in the fifth chapter of the Song of Solomon, you find this expression, the spouse speaking of her beloved in varied ways. He says, his lips are like lilies. And Archie's showing, setting forth, you read it down in the fifth chapter for yourself. Speech mentions almost every part of his body in some likeness in which shows the beauty of it. But he says, his lips are like lilies. Now, now you know, normally, if a person had white lips, that wouldn't be healthy, it wouldn't be beauty. But that doesn't mean to say they've got to paint them, that's artificial and it's not beauty. But naturally, the lips should be pink or a brighter colour, which is indicative of the free flowing of the blood, the life that is in a person. So that there's the beauty in that which is perfectly natural and shows itself in the very part. And then again, you know, the Lord Jesus made a reference to it in the 6th of Matthew. And he did it in this way, to exhort us to that resting upon him in all the things of this time state. He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. And apparently in the Lord's day, there was a magnificent sight very often, to see whole fields of these scarlet lilies. Something like, I suppose, if you see a mass of poppies in a field, you say, how pretty they look. Well, he says, now they're under God's care. How do they grow? They toil not, neither do they spin. It's the handiwork of God. And so is love. The love of God. And we want love from him. And I'm going to pass further to show other points. So now, what is the next letter? Oh, isn't it? And now, what shall we have for that? Well, we are referred to a tree. And that is the olive. And in the book of Judges, in the 9th chapter, you get a reference there. I know these things. I must leave you to read the whole chapter in the substance when you get home. I'm just putting this particular reference, but it's a parable put by Jotham for certain reasons. But here in the 8th and 9th verses, it says this: the trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the tree? Now, mark what he says, his fatness. And the olive, as we refer to the love of Christ, the love of God in Christ, is illustrative of the fullness, the abundance, the never-failing nature of the love of God. And as far as I gather, so the olive tree is one of the most fruitful and abundant trees in Palestine. And you get many references in the Word of God of the olive oil that was used. It was used in so many ways. It was one of the very vital things of the life of the Eastern people. They couldn't well do without it. And it is said sometimes the trees will grow to a height of 30 feet. And I have read that in one case, a tree is known to live 1,600 years. And sometimes will produce as many as 1,000 pounds of oil in a year. So that there was a great abundance. And now, in the 11th of Romans, the Apostle Paul refers to this again in another way. But now, Mark, I'm looking at this as illustrative of the abundance, the fullness, and the never-failing nature of the true love of God in Jesus Christ. And as with the Eastern, the olive oil was a thing they could not do without, neither can any poor sinner do without it. One who desires to know that blotting out of his sin, healing his backslidings, to love God, to love him freely, you'll want it continually. Now, the Apostle in the 11th of Romans refers to it. And as regards the Gentiles being gathered in and partaking of the root and fatness of the olive tree, he likens the salvation of God through the Jews and to the Jews in this way, as that rich, fat blessing like the olive, something that could not be done without. But now look, he speaks of the Gentiles being gathered. And that, of course, is always indicative of those who were not in it before. And what a wonderful mercy it is that God does still gather in us. First of all, it's the Jewish nation, and then under the gospel it was preached to the Gentiles. And you know, we're a Gentile nation. But to think the love of God spreads to us. It's not confined to just one particular class of people. Now, what do you think of the love of God? Do you want to know it through the Lord Jesus Christ? And as regards the Lord Jesus himself and his redeeming work, what a divine fullness there is in that. And where that love is, I think we might apply this word in a way in this sense. In the 10th of Proverbs we have a word like this: love covereth all sin. That doesn't mean that we have got to overlook every sin, and God doesn't overlook sin. Don't make any mistake about that, my dear children. God never overlooks sin. When he blesses a poor sinner, when he gives them to know his salvation, he doesn't overlook their sin. Sin always must be punished. It always must be punished. And that's why God, in his great love, sent his dear son to bear the punishment of his people's sin. You see, God must punish sin. But now, in this sense, what a wonderful thing that his love covereth all sins. The love of God in Jesus Christ, he who died for sin to put away that sin. Well, now, I mustn't linger too long on each point, else I shall keep you too long. And let us go to the next letter. The letter V. Now, what shall we have for? Can you suggest anything in the Bible, any of you, that begins with V? Well, there's one very well-known, some often mentioned. Well, it's the vine. And here again, This is very illustrative of the love of God in Christ. And you'll find so many references in the Word of God to the vine and the use of it, and the juice of the grape and so on. But it's mostly referred to in this vine to show the richness of it and how valuable it was in its use. Well, now, let's turn again to that same chapter in Judges, and there's also a reference there to this. In the 12th and 13th verses, "Then said the trees unto the vine, Come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, Should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees?" Now, there you see the reference. It says, "It cheereth God and man." Wine was sometimes used in the sacrifice, in particular instances, but it was also very useful to man, not so much in the abundance as the olive, but in the richness and the use of it in a right way, in times of fainting or as a stimulus. And so there is that in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now, as I say, there are many references in the Word of God to this. And here again, the vines in Palestine were different to ours, and sometimes they were said to produce 3 crops in a year. You see how illustrative it is of the fullness and the richness of the blood and salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes the bunch, if you remember, when the spies came back, that Joshua sent to spy the land of Palestine, they brought a tremendous bunch of grapes. They had a carrot between 2 on their shoulders. You see, it's all illustrative of the greatness, the richness, and the fullness of the love of God to us. And now, you know, in the 15th of John 2, the Lord speaks of this. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband." And he speaks of that necessary union with him. And he says, none can exist, that is true, without him. There can be no life apart from him. And all vital life comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's a very solemn reference in the 63rd chapter of Isaiah. And there it's in reference to the Lord Jesus in his suffering, but it's in this way. He said, "I have trodden the winepress alone, and with the people there was none with me." You know, the grapes always had to be trodden out to squeeze the juice out, the juice of the grapes, to use as wine. But now, in this case, it's referring to God's love to his people in destroying their enemies. I must not stay to go into all the points in that chapter, but you know, you older friend, if you care to follow it out, where the 53rd illustrates the sufferings of Christ in the redemption of his people, the 63rd illustrates the sufferings of Christ, those same sufferings, but in the destruction of his enemies and all the church's enemies. And it's in love to his people. He says, "I have trodden the winepress alone." And you know, when the Lord died upon Calvary, he not only by his blood redeemed the church, but he overcame sin and Satan, all the enemies of the church, and he did it alone. He says, with the people there was none with me. He did it alone in the love of God. And then, just one more on that point. Wine, you know, the Lord Jesus used this at what we call the Last Supper, His Last Supper, the communion service. And then, on that occasion, he said to his disciples, I'll no more eat of the fruit of the vine or drink it until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now he gave the wine as an emblem of that union and that feast and that enjoyment, partaking of what he had done. But now he says, I won't take it anymore until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now what does that mean? Well, surely there can't be any wine in heaven. No, not in the truest sense. But what it means, what this illustrates, the richness of the things of God, so suitable in the felt nature of them, in the love and union, knowing he has redeemed us from our sins, enjoying his love in that forgiveness, he says you'll have it in all its fullness in heaven. I'm going to heaven, but I'll drink it near with you when you get there. You see, it's a love that will never end. It's the everlasting love of God. Oh no, I'm a fast quick dinner. What is the last letter? P, isn't it? Now what can we find for it in the Word of God? Can you think of any plant or anything in the Word of God beginning with E? Well, there's not exactly a plant, but there's the wood of a tree referred to, and that's in Ezekiel. In the 27th chapter of Ezekiel and the 15th verse, we read this. It's speaking certainly of the merchantmen. The men of Dedan were there thy merchants. Many hours were the merchandise of their thine hand. They brought thee for a present horns of ivory and ebony. Ebony. Now, will your children know what ebony is? Well, it's a black wood, isn't it? Ebony is a black wood. But the remarkable thing about ebony is this. Though it's black, it can always be very highly polished. Now, in this way, we must look at it more like this, as the effect of that love of God through Christ upon his people. Again, if we turn to the Song of Solomon, you know, we have that verse where the spouse says, I am black, but comely. I am black, but comely. That means, of course, she knew and felt that she was a sinner. And yet there was something put upon her that made her comely, suitable, beautiful. Well, that was by the work of Christ, the forgiveness of sins. Now do you and I know we are black? Black in the sight of God through our sin? We are, every one of us. Do you know the Word of God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? But now, it can be so polished that it'll reflect. It's remarkable wood in that way, that it can be so highly polished. Well now, there are several references in the Word of God. I'm certainly just going through to one or two. And in the second chapter of the Epistle to Titus and the 10th verse, you get this word, where the Apostle Paul exhorts us to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. And that word adorn there means to polish. Mark, it doesn't say polish ourselves, but to adorn the doctrine. Well, you can't make the doctrine, the word of God, any better than it is. But of course it means this, by our life, our walk, our conduct, to show that we believe and love the doctrines of God, His word, and that they are reflected in us, like the image can be reflected in the polished ebony. And then again, as one in the Revelation, the 21st chapter, the bride adorned for her husband. In that great day when the Lord will come again, the whole church of God made fit, ready to meet with Him. Polished, adorned, brightened, in clothed with His righteousness. And then the foundations also said to be garnished with all manner of precious stones. And that again is really the same word. And so there are so many things we could refer to in the Word of God which point to this, that where that grace, the love of God, is shed abroad in our hearts, then that should make a difference to our whole life and conduct. Now, think how wonderful the love of God is. Now, remember that first verse I read to you, or rather one of you read? That new commandment that we are to love one another as I have loved you. Now do you know the love of God? Does He forgive your sin? Can He forgive your sin? Yes, He can. Has He done so? Do you want Him to do it? Are you concerned about it? Well then He said we are to love others as God has loved us. A love that will never fail. And you see now the point in reading of that chapter in Corinthians. As I said to you there, the word charity means love. And you see how the apostle mentions it, how perfect it is in every way. He says love never fails. Oh, you think somebody's done something to me, I'll do the same to them. No, that's not the point. If God punished us for our sin, what would be the result? Why, it'd be what the Word says, eternal punishment. But oh, He loves and He forgives, and so must we. Oh, then, may you each know that true love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, His salvation, which is full and free. And may we love one another as God has loved us. You know what the Lord Jesus said again? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded.
Let us now sing hymn number 33, tune Holly Hearth, 874, companion supplement. Great judge of all, that day will come when mortals must receive their doom. Oh, hear our cry and grant we may of thee kind mercy in that day. 33.
Great judge of all, let thy kingdom come.
say just a word before I ask Mr. Honeysett to present the awards to the scholars this afternoon. The responsibility of the prizes that are to be given this afternoon rests upon us as Sunday school teachers. The scholars are given the option of choosing a book, and if we consider it suitable, well then we try to get it for them. Sometimes it is a book that will help them in their everyday life. Those who are growing up and already out in some sphere of labour sometimes ask for what is termed a technical book, and we have over the past years given such books, hoping they would be a help to them in their everyday life. And where there are what is known as story books given, that while there are books in each case in which there is a good moral tone throughout the book, and also in each instance the gospel story is interwoven in that book. And also there are books on the wonders of nature, and of course Bible story books, which are all very pleased to present to the young people, and our hearts are gladdened as Sunday school teachers that several scholars have asked for the best book of all, the Bible, the Word of God. And we do hope that in the case of each of our dear scholars, from the oldest to the youngest, they may have in their hearts a true love to the Word of God. Our dear friend has spoken to you this afternoon about love and what the love of God means, and it does involve, if we love the Lord, that we love His Word. And I do earnestly pray, and I know it is the desire of each one of us who labour in the Sabbath school, that each one of our scholars may have it in their hearts to prize, to love God's Word, and may be able to hoard it up within their hearts, and feed thereon and grow, go on to seek to know the Lord, and to practice what they know. We find in Sunday school work there are discouragements sometimes, but also there is the other side, and sometimes we get a few encouragements. It has been a special joy to us at times when those who have grown up amongst us and come up through the Sunday school have been able later on, as they've grown up, to come forward and testify what the Lord has done for them and follow the Lord in the path of obedience. And such things cheer our hearts. And we honestly pray that the blessing of the Lord may still attend us as we labour on in this work. We do indeed need His help, for we have nothing of ourselves. It is only as the Lord is graciously pleased to impart wisdom from on high to us and help us to speak His word faithfully week by week, and to look up to Him, that as we try week by week to sow the good seed of His word, He will grant a gracious increase. I do hope that these prizes will be made a help and a blessing to each one to whom they are given. I'll ask our friend Mr. Honeysett now to present them.
My dear children, I'm again very sorry your pastor is here, not here to do this. Same time, I'm very pleased as I'm able to do this, and I know what a difficulty it is and has been always to get suitable prizes, but I know, as your superintendent has said, you'll seek to get that which is, they feel is good and suitable. And I do hope that each one of you will find help and profit from them in the right way. Now, the Bible class, Mrs. R. Oliver, David Farley. Trevor Oliver, see that book is not here, back, but he'll
course,
Sheila Bust, biography of John Lunn and Hymns of All Love, he's not here. Daphne Burgess, and she's not here.
Mary Oliver. Richard Oliver. Most of the older ones, I suppose, were working. Michael Drury. Scored in the Hume Alert. Well, I don't know the book, Michael, but I'm sure, as I say, your teacher will seek to get something good for it, and I hope you'll find profit. Geoffrey Oliver. Teach yourself shorthand. Well, I'm sure that'll be very useful to you, and I hope you'll get on with it. Senior class, Mr. B. Oliver. Andrew Oliver, the Bible of Sid Thompson. Well, Andrew, you've got the best book of all, haven't you? And I do hope, my dear, you'll land your recovery. May the Lord bless it to you. Paul Dawson, two books for Paul, Virginia and Rebel and Mayflower Boys. And there again, Paul, I hope you'll read and enjoy them. Philip Drury, Touchdown to a Bench. Two books here for you. Again with those, and may the Lord use them to your good. Rosemary Burgess, she wrote them not. Joyce Buss, Trudy's Island Holiday and Greta's Dream. Again, many of these books I don't know myself, so I do hope again though you'll be helped and blessed by them. Intermediate class, Mr. F. Farrell. Stephen Burgess, a little Oxford dictionary. I know that'll be useful for you, Stephen, and I hope you'll try and remember the word when you do that. Edwin Richards, Reference Bible. And that again is very useful indeed, and sometimes if you follow the references out very carefully, they'll lead you to illustrations of the other Word of God which explain what you can't always understand what you are. Charles Oliver, Extra Prize for Cleanse and Morning Sunday School. Hello, there's three books for you, Charles. Well, that's good, isn't it? You'll have a lot to read and to remember. I hope you will do so. Philip Richards, Extra Prize for a Cleanse of the Morning Foot. I read those other people. I'm sorry, I missed some of those out. And there's three for you too, Richard. Mortimer Barth, I do like most boys interested in motor cars, huh? Eric Goodnews and the Spanish Yacht. Well, may you find use for them too. And profit. Marion Dawson, one extra prize for attendance of Morning Sunday School. In all these things, and Garden Flowers. So that's most interesting, I'm sure. So blessed to you, my dear. Ben Adams, Truly in Demand. Junior class, Mr. P. Dawson. David Dawson, extra prize for attending this morning class. You're going for fishing, eh? Young man in a hurry. Well, sometimes, but you know, sometimes hurry can be a great danger. It has been sometimes, I've known it with motorists, they get late and they get in a hurry and then something happens. So we want to be careful. Hurry in the right way. But don't be slow. Simon Oliver, Victoria Bible. Now, there, there's a lovely Bible for you. I think the picture's only to do a little bit of stuff. I don't know if that is a Christopher Tanton, the Fireman and Wandering Horace, is that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Helen Burgess. Finest children. Well, Helen, I hope you'll like this. Hazel Burgess. She has two books. Sheila comes from Scotland. The Searcher for God. That's really one of those little searches. And Hazel. It says seek to be in the emotional power, isn't it? Julie Oliver. Impression. I hope you'll find it good too, my dear. Gillian Peacock, Nature's Playground. Yes, Caroline Drew, Heidi Grows Up. Infant's Class, Mr. Jaybird. Jonathan Jarvis, Picture Bible. Well, Jonathan, my dear, there's a lovely Bible for you. Picture of me, look at the picture, but Mum and Daddy's not your reader, don't you? Learn some of the texts. Kevin Hicks, A Free Lady Bird. Stephen Panton. Yes, very nice little book for you, Stephen. One of Joseph, Postman, and Discontented Son. Not sure why you're discontented in the world. There you are, my dear. Ian Oliver. Oh, my dear, there's three nice little books for you, right? Is that that one there? If you're done, you're done. Yeah. There's a good boy. Timothy Oliver. Yeah, Timothy, my dear, look, there's a nice little book all about Dan. That's a good boy. Anthony Hicks. Oh, my dear, there's three nice little books. The Child of the Temple. That was soon. That's right, my dear. You got them. Sally Oliver. Ladybird book. The nurse. Nice little books in the numbers. The pictorial dictionary, and I'm sure they will be very helpful to you. That's right, my dear. Judith Tabor. Ladybird ABC, I should have got all about wild flowers. It was made over myself, right? That's right. Bridget Oliver, Going to School. Rachel Burgess, come along, my dear, and there's one all about the Lord's Prayer to you. Jesus the Helper, and about the Lord the Angel. Did you even say something like that, didn't you? Come along, my dear. Lucy Oliver. Come along, my dear. Now look, it's a nice little book for you about baby. Don't drop it, will you?
Heather Mercer. Oh, yes. Come on, my dear. Look, there's a nice little book there by the form for you.
Glad to hear you in the conversation.
Now, these are the little ones who are not yet in the Sunday school, but we hope they will one day. Gary Farley. Come along, my dear. Nice little book here all about China. I don't have known to get to look at Gavin Tanton. Come along, my dear. There's a nice little book for you. Alan Oliver. Come along, dear. Look, there's a nice little book for the boy. Thank you. Karen Jarvis. Oh, she's not here. Mark Adams. Sarah Taylor. Come along, dear. Look, it's a nice little... Come along. Look, it's a nice little book. Come along. Look, there's a nice little book with my horses on. There's a good girl. Andrew Burgess. Rose me, Oliver. There, my dear, now you can't read that. Paul Adams. Guy Hanson. This is the baby of the family. There you are, your mummy likes to get that. Thank you.
Let's close our afternoon service by singing hymn number 54.
June Edmondson, number 640.
May I love thee and adore thee, O thou bleeding, dying lamb. Teach my heart to bow before thee, kindle there a sacred flame. Number 54.